So allow me to read this psalm once more. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I wonder, what is the one thing in all of life that gives you the greatest joy and happiness? What do you consider to be the greatest blessing of all? Is it perhaps to live comfortably? Is it perhaps to get lucky and win the lottery? Or is it to have good health and to see your children or your grandchildren grow up? Every day, you see the world around you going through great lengths in their search for happiness. There is no doubt that everyone wants to live a good life. But are the things that they work so hard in pursuing really going to give them a happiness that will last? Will they really be satisfied in the things that this world can offer? The very first words in the entire Psalter draws you into the possibility of having true, lasting happiness, a life that is blessed by God. Surely there is no higher state of contentment or joy. This is the divine blessedness for the truly righteous person, one who delights in the Word of God and has a close and intimate personal relationship with Him. The 150 Psalms that make up this one book were originally compiled to be used as Israel's hymn book. It has since developed to be a hymn book for all the people of God, a hymn book for all the times. They express all sorts of emotions and desires addressed directly to God or about God and His ways. They contain prayers and songs and petitions that are written so honestly and deep within the heart. It is certainly not by accident that Psalm 1 is placed first in the entire Psalter. It sets the pattern for what is to follow. It opens with a word of blessing on those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. This blessing is promised to those who love God's word, who think about it constantly, and who will persevere to live it out in their everyday lives, no matter what joys or trials may still confront them. This psalm is not strictly a prayer or a song, but rather a declaration. It is a wisdom psalm to instruct us, the readers. It makes no mention of any specific historical persons or events in Israel's history, but rather it has a timeless quality that calls the people of God into obedient service. It sets the challenge to walk diligently in the ways of the Lord by setting out two very different ways by which one can live. These two ways are not determined by geography or terrain, people, groups of culture, but by the character of those who choose to walk in it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Just like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the psalmist here says that the blessed are attributed certain characteristics. The meaning of blessed refers to someone who is supremely happy or fulfilled. He has a true sense of well-being, a deep sense of joy that comes from God's grace in his life. This joy overflows to those around him as he is fully content and happy in God. There is a satisfaction in the Lord that arises from being in fellowship with him, isn't there? He or she lives in close relation with God, has a trusting and dependent relationship with him, and enjoys his love and protection. Notice three negative terms are used to describe the character of this blessed person. He walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This one man faces an uphill battle. He's going up against the masses and is certainly not very popular at all. There is certainly a great divide between the righteous person who is blessed by God and then everyone else. The path that the righteous person takes is by far the path that is less travelled. It is not an easy or popular road to take. Yet, in all this, the psalmist still says that it is the way of blessing and joy. Notice also the three groups of three that are mentioned in the text. The blessed person does not walk, stand, or sit in the counsel, the way, and the seat of the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. Such a progression in movement goes from moving to being stationary and then to sitting. What the psalmist is doing is portraying the impact of sin in our lives. Firstly, you may only be influenced by sin and think about carrying it out. You may laugh at what people do on talk shows or watch a movie that makes sin somehow appealing. You may even look up to ungodly people, approve of the things that they do and say. You admire a celebrity who is clearly against God or sympathise with certain ideologies. You find a certain attraction towards sinful people and sinful things. Next thing you know, you identify with sin and even participate in it from time to time. You become accustomed to sin as being a natural part of your everyday life. You stop, you take your stance with, and often stand in the way of sinful things. And finally, these sinful ways eventually become a habit and a lifestyle. The attitudes of simple people become yours. Their habits, your habits. You have progressed from becoming one of the scornful, a scoffer, and a mocker. Such people are funny people. They laugh at God and are unresponsive to his things. They laugh at the truths that are contained in the Word, often deeming what the Bible says as outdated and irrelevant. Scoffers are doers of wickedness and evil. They tell jokes by calling what is evil good and what is good evil. So you see, a person settles into sin by stages. Before he knows it, he's caught up in a downward spiral, unable to stop or turn back. Walking, standing, and then sitting. The Apostle Paul says in Romans that this sinful path will certainly lead to death, for the wages of sin is death. The blessed person has no fellowship with the wicked. Rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This means that his joy, his pleasure, his longing and his desire is in God's word. How often do we read the Bible out of obligation or compulsion? What the psalmist is saying is that there ought to be great joy and excitement when you read and meditate upon God's word. The law of the Lord is not just referring to a set of rules that constrain us or bind us. Rather, it refers to God's instruction and direction, his guidance and his will. It is the fullness of his teaching for us, his children. Such instruction was to be passed on from generation to generation. It was to be obeyed, to be loved and meditated upon in a positive sense. His law was to be the object of reverence and awe. This blessed man finds unspeakable joy in the entirety of God's word because he loves God and truly wants to know him. Over the last few years, our Daily Bread Ministries has undertaken some research with very interesting results. We undertook 8 years of study into the spiritual lives of more than 100,000 people around the world. What we found was that engaging in the Bible 4 or more days of the week has a profound impact on the lives of believers. Such people were much less prone to sin and give in to certain temptations. There is no doubt that temptation is a fact of life, even for believers. What this study has found is that spending time reading the Bible is by far the best means for resisting temptation. For a Christian's relationship to grow and mature with God, there must be a two-way communication channel whereby believers hear the voice of God through reading their Bibles and converse to him through prayer. Spending time every day in the Word of God is critically needed to grow in the Christian faith. In fact, the life of someone who engages in Scripture 4 or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. The lives of Christians who do not engage in the Bible most days of the week sadly look no different from the lives of other unbelievers. The Word of God is a primary means for the Holy Spirit to transform his people. Therefore, we must make it a habit to invest our time to doing this in order to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And then verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In this verse, the blessed person who delights in the law of the Lord is described as a tree planted by streams of water. He's planted in a location where it is well watered, ensuring that it will never, ever fade away. The notion of being transplanted involves the action of a gardener. Certain reasons are behind a gardener planting a tree in a particular location. Very similarly, God knows the best place to plant and place his people. He chooses where they are to be planted for his glory and for our own good. God's decisions always bring about his order and his beauty, no matter how painful it may seem to us at the time. There is certainly a purpose and a plan in the life of every single believer. Nothing occurs by accident. God wants to use you wherever he has placed you, for you to flourish and for you to grow, to be his representative in this dark and evil world. And whatever God plants will surely grow, blossom and fruit. Such was the result of delighting and meditating upon the law of the Lord. This tree yields its fruit in its season because its roots are deep, embedded deep in the soil of a riverbed. Such fruit must be evident in the lives of those who are in Christ. They must display an evidence of a casting away of sin and turning away from the old self. They must also delight and meditate upon God's word. There are many people today who point to a mystical feeling or an emotional experience for the validity of their conversion. They think that because they once felt emotional or grateful for the grace found in Jesus Christ, that they are now saved. However, their lives are no different to before. Others can't see any changes in them. There is no display of any spiritual fruit in their lives. A truly saved person will produce fruit in every single season of life. Next, the text says that this tree's leaf does not wither. What this means is that everything that this person does has eternal value and lasting results. I recall very vividly certain parts of the life of my grandmother. She gave me a lasting memory of how to live a sacrificial and selfless life. At the time, I was not a Christian, and I could not understand why she always desired to serve others, honouring them before herself, even when they were clearly in the wrong. In the eyes of this world, she was a fool. She was what young people today would call a loser. She passed away in my arms after a battle with cancer. I was the only member of my family there at the time. The weeks leading up to her death, her body was extremely weak, to the point that she wouldn't even be able to sit upright for long before having to lie down again. But she still insisted on coming to church every Sunday. We set up a special chair at the back of the church where she would be all rucked up so that she could lie down there. It was so important for her to come before God in worship and be amongst the congregation of the righteous. You see, her leaf did not wither. Her roots drank deeply from the streams of living water. Jeremiah chapter 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. The last evidence of the blessed man is that in all that he does, he prospers. The Hebrew verb to prosper can also be translated to succeed. It infers being able to accomplish the work that one sets out to do. It has a sense of making progress. So in this sense, it is very different from a promise of prosperity and wealth. In fact, have you not yet come to realize that quite often in God's economy, the work that he assigns to you tends to truly prosper only through suffering and humiliation? As you look back to the hurdles and the struggles that you faced in life, you realize that you always come out the other end a much stronger person. God has used these difficult experiences to shape you and to mold you. He wants to prepare you for the marriage feast of the Lamb that you have been invited to. God's blessing in all your suffering and perseverance for him is the promise that none of this is without a purpose. None of it is pointless. Regardless of what may confront you in life, every single bud of yours will fruit if you allow for God's word to be at the center of your life. You will surely flourish if you honor God as God. God will make you blossom and bear fruit no matter your age, no matter your abilities, your background, or your past. The trees that he has planted will most certainly grow and thrive because they find water from the source of all life. As we come to contemplate what it means to be blessed by God this morning, you will work hard to strive towards living this holy and righteous life. However, at the same time, if you're honest with yourself, you'll admit that all too often you also listen to the counsel of the wicked and secretly laugh at God through your lack of faith or unbelief. This issue is further complicated in the grammar of verse 1 that requires this man's perfect obedience. The Hebrew verbs to walk, to stand, and to sit are all in the perfect mood, meaning that blessed is the man who has never sinned or been involved in anything tainted with evil. The blessings of this first psalm are for those who are and always have been separated from wickedness and sin. So is the psalmist tempting you with something that you can never achieve? Oh, and who is this psalmist describing? There has only been one man in the entire history of the human race who has been able to live out the reality of this psalm. Quite amazingly, the very first verse of the entire Psalter points to Christ. Only in Jesus do we see this psalm exemplified. There was no sin in him. No lies came out of his mouth, and there was no deceit in his heart. He is the only one who delights fully in the law of the Lord. He went about his father's business, speaking all the words that was given to him and doing all the works that the father set before him. At the appointed hour, he underwent the most severe suffering. He was shamed, beaten, and spat on. The Roman soldiers humiliated him and crucified him. He drank the full cup of the Father's wrath and did everything right in its season. In all that he did, he prospered because he fully fulfilled the Father's will in perfect obedience. Jesus Christ truly was the supremely happy and blessed man. As Christians, you know that all of this is in your measure, though conscious that Christ alone comes up to the picture so beautifully drawn here. Having the righteousness of Christ, you too can have this holiness imparted to you. His blessings become yours. His life is wrapped up in yours and yours in his. To be able to live out this psalm, you need to become like Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you do not spend time in God's word, you will never come to truly know God. God's blessing can only be found in his Son, Jesus Christ. Why would you go anywhere else? You will not find God's blessing apart from Jesus. God's word is eternal. It must be central in the life of the Christian. You must hunger for it. You must thirst for it. You must delight in it. It is like oxygen or food for your soul. You will not be able to live without it. A true relationship with God is so important. Why? Let me put it like this. You all know what happens to fish when they're taken out of water. They flap around, gasping for air. Why? Because they were not created to live outside of their water environment. And so it is with us. We were not created to live a life apart from God. Until we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, we are just like fish out of water. Our souls flap around, gasping for air, until we can find true rest and peace in God. For you know that you live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's pray.